I want to begin talking with all of you today about money. Yes, I know it's quite the topic. Just ask 10 different people on how they think tax money should be spent, and you're likely to get 10 different answers. Now, money in this life can be helpful. It does have useful purposes. For example, money can be used to buy food, water, clothing, shelter, those basic necessities that we need for our physical bodies. It's no secret money helps the church do the work of the ministry, which should always be centered in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Money can be used to help those in need. It can be used to help those who are poor and unable to fend for themselves. And yes, even tax money can be used for the benefit of a society. Why do I bring this topic up? Well, because Jesus comments on money in today's gospel reading. Now, the problem is not being rich per se. Jesus is not saying it's a sin to have and use money. The problem that our Lord points out is when money becomes your God. When you begin to worry excessively over money, when you begin to panic over money, when you begin to trust in money over and above your Lord and your God. Friends, when you find yourself burdening and stressing yourself out over money, and yes, that includes agonizing over having to pay taxes, those could be signs that maybe, just maybe, you don't quite fear, love, and trust in God above all things. Don't let the first commandment out of your sight. This is what Jesus is emphasizing in today's text. It's downright dangerous to put your trust in money, unrighteous mammon, instead of trusting in God to provide for you your daily bread and, most importantly, your salvation. It's a dangerous trap that even the most fervent Christian can fall into, trusting in money over and above God. Even the disciples understood the lust for riches that is inherent in every sinner. Craving possessions and money in this world is a temptation, friends, that few, if any, are immune to. Knowing this, Peter then asked Jesus the question. He says, "Then who can be saved? If entering the kingdom is as hard as you say it is, Jesus, then who can enter it?" That's really the question, isn't it, friends? Who can get into the kingdom of heaven? Especially when we hear from Jesus just how difficult it is. Now, in this context, the difficulty in getting into the kingdom of heaven is here because of the many false gods and idols in this world clamoring for our attention. We live in a world where there are numerous distractions trying to pull ourselves away from God and His Word. Now, sure, the love of money and possessions, those are biggies, idols that cannot give us what God can give, but there are other idols. Technology, a particular substance, watching too much television. Maybe it's your profession, what you do. Maybe you idolize someone else, or maybe you idolize yourself. Luther defines what an idol is, and he puts it very simply in his large catechism. This is what the Reformer says. He says, "Anything on which your heart relies and depends, I say, that is really your God. Anything your heart relies upon and depends, that is your God." Now, you combine idols, and then you can, with our sinful nature, and you will see that not only is entering the kingdom of heaven difficult, it's impossible by yourself. That's what our Lord says. It is impossible for man. But we do hear it is not impossible for God. All things are possible for our Lord and our God, including salvation. And He does save, friends, by grace through faith in His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. This should have been glorious news for the disciples. Don't worry about it. Don't cling to false gods. Don't put all your stock in the unrighteous wealth of the world, which cannot bring you into God's heavenly courts. Know that salvation belongs to God, and He is faithful to save. The disciples should have rejoiced over hearing this. However, Peter is a little quick to brag. Instead of saying something akin to thanks be to God or to God be the glory, what does Peter say? Behold, we've left everything to follow you. Friends, such a statement overlooks the fundamental point. The fundamental point that it is not by our following that God looks upon us with favor. It is not on account of faith by itself which saves, but we should know this, it is who faith clings to, right? The object of our faith, he it is who saves. And the object of our faith is our Lord and our God, Jesus Christ. He brings you salvation, and for his sake, and for the sake of the gospel, idols of all sorts should be abandoned. Leave them behind. Serve your Lord and your God alone. In him, we should fear, love, and trust above all things. He will provide you everything you need, Christian, in this life and in the life to come. Now, at this point in the gospel, Jesus switches gears a little bit. Okay? After Peter's boast, Jesus moves away from focusing on the love of money, and he talks about leaving family behind for his sake and for the sake of the gospel. Now, those are important words, for his sake and for the sake of the gospel. And don't get too excited, because this commandment is not saying we now have permission to abandon all of our in-laws and family members who get under our skin. That's not what our Lord Jesus is talking about. Jesus is not calling us to abandon our loved ones, because our Lord takes very seriously things like the bond of marriage. Our Lord takes very seriously all the commandments, including the fourth commandment, honoring father and mother. Our Lord Jesus takes very seriously and commands us to love our neighbor and serve them with works of love and mercy. So he is certainly not telling us to abandon all those who are close to us. What our Lord Jesus is saying is that for his sake and for the sake of the gospel, those in the kingdom of God, the believers, do have to draw lines in the sand. Those in the kingdom of light, those clinging to Christ by the faith our Lord provides, they are distinct from those in the kingdom of darkness, friends. And that sometimes includes those who are close to us. Leaving behind the false doctrine and the false beliefs of those who are close to you, including even family members, separating yourself from what they believe in, is what Christians are called to do, and it's not easy. Hence those two little words, right? With persecution. Here again, what our Lord Jesus says. He says, truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel who will not receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brothers, sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions. Abandoning the beliefs and the false doctrine of others for the sake of Christ and for the sake of the heavenly family that we now have by being in the church will bring about persecution. Or perhaps we can boil it down to this. You, the Christian, have members in your family who belong to the kingdom of darkness and unbelief, and they have proven to you time and time again they are very content living in the kingdom of darkness. It's not always a comfortable situation, is it, to be around them? You may even take some heat for being a Bible believer when it's very clear the world has no need for ancient religions of the past. Or you may, by the working of the Holy Spirit, be compelled to make the good confession in Christ, even though it does not jive with their lifestyle. They may become a little agitated, and you may take some persecution for it. Be prepared, Christian. Life in the heavenly family, yours by Christ, life in the church, does bring about persecutions in this life. Most of you know in California over the summer, me and the youth braved a trip out to California. And while I was out there, I gave a presentation on homosexuality, a hot topic, especially in the heartland of California, Irvine. And I was expecting to take some tomatoes for what I was saying. But that didn't happen. much to my encouragement. In fact, I don't remember anyone disagreeing with what I said. But what I did get were a lot of questions from young people and adults. Questions revolving around this one question. How do I deal with homosexuality when it infiltrates family, friends, and loved ones? What do I do when homosexuality, or any vice for that matter, friends, it doesn't have to be that vice. What happens when it comes into the home? What happens when someone I know and love who is close to me gets caught up in a transgression and they begin wrestling with a vice that does not conform to my Christian conviction? In those instances, Christian, it is difficult. It is hard. Not easy drawing that line in the sand between yourself and the heavenly family God has given you and those living in the kingdom of darkness who reject everything you stand for and believe in. So leaving your trust in money, it is hard. Distinguishing yourself from the kingdom of darkness by the faith and confession God gives you is even harder. It's important to remember, as we discuss all of this, that our Lord was persecuted for doing the work of God. Doing miracles, claiming to be God, forgiving sins did not sit well with the enemies of Jesus. They did not like hearing about grace through faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ. So they arrested him, they put him on trial, and they crucified him. Jesus undergoes persecution under the enemies of God, and we too, Christians, we will face the same thing as we take up our crosses and follow him. There will be those times when we do face loved ones who, unfortunately, and with great tears, we say they want no part in the kingdom of God. And when we do face these people that we care about, these people that we love, people who we very much want by God's grace to be in his kingdom, we're far from perfect, right? The faith that we can articulate so well on any other day becomes suddenly very difficult when you're talking to somebody else. We stumble at our words. Sometimes we may say too much. Sometimes we hide in the shadows. Sometimes we're bold. Sometimes a little too shy. And let me tell you, pastors struggle at this as well. Finding the words to say in every situation is hard, and we never get it right, even pastors. Our sin is always getting in the way. But here's the good news, friends. Here is the good news. Our peace, our solace, and our comfort, all of that comes not from how well we love and serve our neighbor. It is not by our work, but our peace, our comfort comes from knowing God's promise. All things are possible with God, and that includes your salvation, which has been accomplished for you, friends, in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Glorious news. All things are possible for God, and that includes saving sinners, which has been done through the work of God's Son. So the peace, the comfort, and strength we have comes from our Lord. All things are possible. That includes making the good confession. That includes having the words to say, the timing to say them, and that includes also our salvation. Jesus was put to death, but it's a death he underwent for you willingly. So now, when you feel convicted by your sins, when you are feeling guilt upon your shoulders, when you feel burdened by the transgressions and iniquity that besets us and also the sins of the world, friends, remember what your Lord underwent for you. Remember the persecution of Jesus that he took upon his body for you. Your sins are paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. Money cannot give that. People cannot give that. But your Lord and your God freely gives it to you. Forgiveness, life, and salvation, all yours by faith. So here's my concluding point to wrap all of this up and bring it home. Christian, in this world, when you find yourself being persecuted for whatever reason, it may be within your family you are taking heat for holding on to the confession and faith God has given you. Remember the Savior that you follow. Remember what is possible for God, and that is all things. And that includes saving sinners, your forgiveness, and eternal life, all yours. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the grace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus from now until life everlasting. Amen. Let's now rise and sing the offertory.
Yea, ten me a queen.